This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
We're going to continue in the series that we started before I traveled. I called it Kinsman Redeemer, and in part one, we talked about the provident God. But can I say something real quick? There are a few of us, there are some of us, that have a few character flaws that are the main hindrance to our upward journey. Amen? Because think about it. What Jesus did on the cross, you know, I had Prophet Scarella say this. He said, just the same way he finished the work of your salvation on the cross, the work of your healing was finished on the cross. The work of your upward journey was finished on the cross. The work of your prosperity was finished on the cross. It's not something that is about to do, it's something that is already done. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so when you now look at the contradictions of our life and what is already done, then it tells you that we should look at ourselves and see where we have issues. Amen? Amen. Jesus already finished the work. So today, as we continue, I'm going to talk on what I've called the way up. Somebody say the way up. The way up. You are on your journey to the very top, and God will take you there. I said, okay, God will take me there. Aha. Amen. Amen. So the last time we concluded by saying that you should stop worrying about the could have, the would have, and the should have. You know, I could have done this. It could have been this way. I would have done that. It should have been this way. I said, stop worrying about that. Because you cannot go back in time to change what has already happened. Amen. It is important that you focus on the journey, and your journey is a forward journey. You know, and I want you to also remember that the provident God is more than able. Is more than able to turn your mess into a miracle. It's more than able. Is more than able. And that is what we see in the story of Ruth. The story of Ruth became a spectacular story, even though it started as a tragedy, a tragic story. Why? Because the father-in-law died, the brother-in-law died, the husband died, everybody was left hanging. But God turned it around. God will turn your situation around for his glory in the name of Jesus. Brethren, I want to remind you this morning, there is a particular reason why time only goes forward. Have you noticed time never goes backwards? If the clock is going backwards, it means the battery is dying. You know, so when it gets to the whatever and it's supposed to, it can't climb anymore. And because it can't climb anymore, it keeps going. And if it dies enough, it just comes back. Amen. By the design of the Almighty God, time can only progress forward. And therefore, I prophesy over your life this afternoon, this morning. I say your life has no choice but to go forward. Amen. Backward never, forward ever. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. God will advance the course of your life and it will move you forward. In the name of Jesus. So very quickly, let's read Ruth chapter 3 from verse 1 to 11. Ruth chapter 3 from verse 1 through 11. One day, Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, it's time that I found a permanent home for you so that you will be provided for. Boaz is a close relative of ours. And he's been very kind by letting you gather grain with his young women. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Now, do as I tell you." Somebody say, do as I tell you. The problem of some people is taking instructions and following instructions. He said, now, do as I tell you. Don't rationalize what I'm about to tell you, is what she was telling to her. Do as I tell you. He says, take a bath and put on perfume and dress in your nicest clothes. Then go to the threshing floor. But don't let Boaz see you until he has finished eating and drinking. Be sure to notice where he lies down. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do. Verse 5. Say, I will do everything you say. Ruth replied. She didn't say I will do most of it or part of it or many of it. Say, I will do everything that you have said. Hallelujah. Verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor that night and followed. Somebody says she followed. And followed the instructions of her mother-in-law. Verse 7. After Boaz has finished eating and drinking and was in good spirit. He didn't just drink water. You get the point. Okay. So don't be religious. After eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he lay down at the far end of the pile of grain and went to sleep. Then Ruth came quietly, uncovered his feet, and laid down. Around midnight, Boaz suddenly woke up and turned over. He was surprised to find a woman lying at his feet. Who are you? He asked. I am your servant, Ruth, she replied. Spread the corner of your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer. Verse 10, the Lord bless you, my daughter, Boaz explained. You are showing even more family loyalty now than you did before, for you have not gone after a younger man, whether rich or poor. Verse 11 and the last verse that we're reading from there. Listen to this very carefully. Then Boaz said to her, now don't worry. Verse 10. Okay, our thing too doesn't like going back. It's just going forward. It says, you have not gone after younger men, whether rich or poor. Okay, thank you. Verse 11. Now, don't worry about a thing, my daughter. Listen, I will do what is necessary. For everyone in town knows you are a virtuous woman. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I talked about character flaws in the beginning. What I want to do today is very simple. From this story, we're going to look at three characters, and we're going to bring out important character traits that they have, and we're going to apply to our lives. And this things, if we apply to our lives, it will set us on our upward journey in life in the name of Jesus. So to go to the next level, the number one thing you need, if you have the app, the sermon note is already on the app. So the first blank there will be sacrifice. Sacrifice. John Maxwell says something very profound. He said you have to give up to go up. You have to what? You have to give up to go up. Many people are not willing to sacrifice anything, but they want to move forward. It will be difficult, if not impossible, to make progress if you are not willing to sacrifice. Because some things will hold you down and will not allow you to get to destination. I've shown you a few times already, the old spacecraft that they used to use, even the new one. The SpaceX Dragon 9 that just went to space and came back. That one too has like a fuel tank that has to be disposed of. When the spacecraft is going, the old one, it has the extra tank and it has two booster rockets. Those booster rockets and the extra tank, they help it lift up. But with that weight, it can't go into space. Otherwise, it will not get it to destination. It will not make it to destination. You must be willing and you must be ready to make sacrifices. You must be ready to let go of certain things if you are going to succeed in life. Ruth, the character in this story, the central figure in this story, Ruth gave up everything. Everything. She gave up her family. She gave up everything she was familiar with. She gave up her friends. She gave up her culture. She gave up her religion and said, "Woman of God, Naomi, anywhere you go, I will go with you." She made sacrifice like you cannot imagine. What sacrifice are you willing to make for your next level? Friends, you have prayed. God has heard your prayer. God has answered your prayer. If nothing is moving, it's because you are not doing the necessary. Hallelujah. You need to give up. For some people, it's sleep. It's, I don't joke with my sleep. Okay. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arm. He said, at the end of the day, your poverty will come like an armed bandit. That scripture, you can read it when you get to Proverbs 24. He said, your poverty will come like an armed bandit. So you and I must be, number one, ready to sacrifice. We must be ready to sacrifice. Why would Ruth follow her mother-in-law? The only thing that connected them is gone. Even the Bible teaches us that when there is death in marriage, the other spouse that is alive is free of that covenant of marriage. They can move on and remarry. If they don't remarry, it's a choice that they have made. But Ruth chose to go with her mother-in-law. Number two, very quickly. We're talking about the way up. Number one's journey. Number one thing on the way up is sacrifice. Number two, you cannot go to the top alone. You cannot do it alone. So if you are following the app, the blank there is you cannot do it alone. Ruth understood that her destiny somehow was connected to Naomi. Even though Naomi didn't seem to have a great potential for her future, but somehow she knew. Many of us, we judge by sight. We live by sight. We don't live by faith. Many of us, our calculations are based on what we can see, not what God has said. Amen? Because of all the people that can make her life beautiful. One of the things you may not know, if you don't know Bible history, is it was a terrible thing to be a widow and be childless in Bible days. Because women were, even for census, they don't count them. The worst life you can live is to be alive without a child and without a husband as a woman. Why would Naomi follow such a woman? She understood that there was something that intertwined her future and her destiny with this woman. Some people have neglected their destiny helper. They have said, "You, what can you do for me?" Said, "No, I'm done with you. You have helped me. Now I can do it by myself, so I don't need you anymore." Hallelujah. Isn't that the story of Saul? When Saul was a little man in his own eyes, you know, when they were going to crown him king, he was hiding. They had to fetch him out from hiding before he could be crowned and be made king. And then he became king. They went to battle. He couldn't wait for the priest to come and make the sacrifice. He said, "I forced myself." Go read the scripture. He said, "I forced myself to make the sacrifice." Why? He's a big man now. Hallelujah. You cannot do it alone. Joshua needed Moses. Elisha needed Elijah. Saul needed Samuel, but he forgot it at some point. Believe it or not, David needed Goliath for him to get to his destiny. Hallelujah. Amen. David needed Goliath. These relationships are codependent. Amen. I need you. You need me. When you neglect those that God has positioned around you to help you move further, then you are risking something great in your future. But my prayer is that wherever we have missed it in the past, grace will cover for us. I say grace will make room for us. In the mighty name of Jesus. I beg you, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Please don't look for the easy way out in life. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, say, don't look for the easy way out. Don't look for the path of least resistance. Do you know that rivers and men become crooked when they follow the path of the least resistance? One of the things that used to fascinate me a lot, in fact, I'm not so fascinated about it anymore. For a long time, when I'm in the airplane and we're airborne, I'm just looking down. I love to sit by the window. What am I looking for? I'm looking for river. It will amaze you to see how twisted rivers are when you look at it from above. You can see a river flowing from here, come this way, turning and twisting, and then it will come back flowing alongside itself. You know why? Water is always looking for the path of least resistance. When you are looking for the path of least resistance, your life will be twisted. You'll be twisted. Because if this is the easy way, then you go this way. And then, you meet obstruction, then you come back this way. And then you've missed, then you go that way. It does not matter. If the right way is the hard way, follow it. Amen? Amen? If the right way is the hard way, go the hard way. You are not going it alone. God is with you. Hallelujah. Sacrifice is required for meaningful success in life. Amen? In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel said to the head servant of the head eunuch, he said, look, we have made up our mind. We are not going to eat the king's food, though, because it's food that has been offered to idols. He said, we can't do that because the king has made special portions for you because he wants you looking fine, looking robust, and looking really good. He said, we can't do that. He said, but we can't eat the food. He said, okay, test us for 10 days. After 10 days, if we look lean and whatever, he said, then let it be so. They determined in their mind, if that's some of us, this is God open door. God has given me open door. I'm eating at the king's table. No. They sacrificed and they made a determination. At the end of the day, the Bible says they were 10 times wiser than the people that ate the king's portion. My prayer for you is that you'll be strong in faith. Amen. You'll be strong in faith. Amen. In the name of Jesus. You will do the right thing. You will do the will of God. You will follow the path that God has charted for you, no matter how difficult or how hard, in the name of Jesus. Number three, very quickly. If you are going to the top, you must learn to resist peer pressure. Amen? You must learn to resist temptation of peer pressure. Many people have ended in a bad place because they followed others there. It was not their plan initially, but because everybody is saying yes, and you are feeling bad, if I say no now, I will look the odd man out, be the odd man out. Praise the Lord. Peer pressure. You say, how does this relate to what we're talking about? The Bible tells us that in Ruth chapter 1 verse 13, when Naomi told both ladies, Orpah and Ruth, he said, look, there's no point you guys going back with me. You go back home. Go back to your parents. Perhaps you'll find a better life here. You know? And they both said, no, we will go with you. No, we'll go with you. They all wept. And as they wept, after a while, Orpah said, all right, ma. The Lord go with you. I will go back home to mommy and daddy. So she went back home. Do you know that was pressure for Ruth? It was easier for her to just join in the flow. I said, okay, ma, The Lord go with you. We'll be praying for you as you go. But no, she was not pressured to make the same decision as Orpah. She made up. In fact, the Bible says in verse 14 that she clung to Naomi. She clung to her. And then further on, she said to her, she was begging her. You see that? He said, and again they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. When you jump to verse 16, the Bible says she began to tell Naomi. Said, but Ruth replied, said, don't ask me to leave and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you leave, I will leave. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Verse 17. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. That's what I said. Wow. 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 She was determined. She made up her mind that whatever is in this woman, even though she doesn't look like it right now, I'm going to get what God, the peace of my life that God has put in her life, I'm going to make sure I get it. Many people, because of offense, they have lost, or the one that had the peace has not released the peace. How many of us remember jigsaw puzzle? I don't see it anymore, but I'm sure they still have it somewhere. You know that you have like 100 pieces, 500 pieces, and you are putting it together. Our lives, the way God has designed it, amen? No one man has it all. The pieces of the jig puzzle of our life, God has put in the hands of different people. That is why relationships are crucial. So when you are in relationship with that one person, they release the peace that God has kept with them. You are in relationship with this other person, they release the peace that God has placed in their hand. When those pieces come together is when you make it to the very top. Hallelujah. Remember the story of the children of Israel, Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. The Bible says 12 spies were chosen to go spy the land. And when they came back, 10 of the 12 gave an evil report. Oh, thank God for men that know who they are. You must know who you are in Christ Jesus. The problem is too many people are following the crowd. When people begin to speak evil, you are not able to say, excuse me, I disagree with what you're saying. Amen? Is the reason people cannot preach Christ anymore because everybody is preaching against Christ. So instead of joining them to preach against Christ, you keep quiet. The Bible says, as they were giving their evil report, Caleb, he said, hush, hush, we can take the land. And in Numbers chapter 14, the Bible says, Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. What kind of spirit do you have? Follow spirit, crowd effect spirit, I deliver you from such. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. They resisted the temptation of peer pressure. Even though they were all leaders, all 12 of them were tribe leaders. But those two said, no. Yes, what you have said, we saw giants. But our God has spoken. And God is able to do exceedingly. Somebody say exceedingly. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we may think or ask of him according to his power that is at work in us. So there is a power that is at work in my life because I am in Christ. Amen? I'm a different species, Sister Obi. I'm a different species. Never existed before. Many of you missed the movie yesterday. We can't show it again. When the DVD is available, we'll sell it to you. But it was free yesterday. Amen. They came to look for this man. He said, which one are you? Are you looking for the old me or the new me? Amen. He said, if you are looking for the old, he's dead. That old me, that old Koye, I've told you many, I said this to my friends many, many years ago. I said, that Koye is there. He said, we know. He's always dying and resurrecting. I said, he's dead for good. And I thank the Lord. I've not gone back to that life. Never going back. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Friends, you must resist with everything you have peer pressure. Don't let anybody pressure you to do anything. It does not matter how it's working out for them. Maybe that is what God has called them to do. Praise God. He said, look at you. You are even suffering. Thank you. David said, it was good for me that I was afflicted. And maybe a little suffering will put my mind straight. And then I'll get the picture that God is painting for me. Praise the Lord. So that was, we talked about three things already. Sacrifice, you cannot go it alone. Three, resist temptation. The next two, we're going to look at from the perspective of Naomi. Number one, when you look at the life of Naomi, I just described for you that a woman, a widow in Bible times, without a son, is finished. If she has a daughter, maybe she will still have some help. So Naomi was sentenced to a gruesome, difficult life. She can't remarry. The king's man, her redeemer, is not going to marry her. She's too old. You know, even in those cultures where they do those things, they don't marry the old ones. They just leave the old ones to suffer and die. Naomi's life was set to be a very difficult life. But in all of the bad projections for her life, Naomi was still unselfish. Many people believe that unless I hoard everything to myself, I will not make it in life. It is a lie. The Bible says there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is he that withholds more than his meat and tends towards poverty. Amen? The financial analysis of God is not the more you keep, the bigger you become. No. No. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. That is the word of God. Naomi was very, very unselfish. She was unselfish. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 1 that we read earlier, the Bible says, one day, Naomi said to Ruth, my daughter, it is time that I find a permanent home for you so that you will be provided for. She was looking beyond herself. She's saying, you have made all the sacrifices. Now it's time for you to be settled. I don't care what happens to me. Remember, in chapter 2, Ruth was the one going to the field, getting the grain, coming home, cooking for her, helping her with everything. What do you think will happen when Ruth is married? She's going to be alone. She's going to be by herself. But she was not thinking about her. She was thinking about the other person. Friends, the way God has designed us, he has designed us not to be selfish. It is the old Adamic sinful nature for us to be selfish. That is why when you see children, you bought the box of cookie for the child. A box of cookie. In fact, you bought a carton. It's just that you gave her one box from the whole carton. And then you gave to her, or to him. Why did I say her? Are women more selfish than men? Anyway. Gender neutral. You gave the child. Thank you very much. You gave the child the box of cookie. And the child is eating. I said, sweetheart, give me one of your cookies. She forgot you. The whole carton is in the room. She saw you when you opened the carton. When she's done with that little box you gave her, she's coming back for more. I said, give me one piece of cookies. You know why? You don't teach a child to do that. It is the Adamic nature in us that makes us do that. So when you find yourself selfish, it's all about you. You know, it's all about you. It's all about you. Then you still need a little deliverance from the Adamic nature. Number two, Naomi was very thoughtful. when you read the whole chapter 3, it's amazing. She came up, she was the architect of the plan for her to be remarried. She understood the culture. She knew the men. She knew everything that Ruth did not know. Thank God Ruth followed her. What would that? Did you notice that we never heard of Orpah again? Her story ended where they hugged and kissed. That's the end of her story. The same thing, Paul and Silas. That moment that they separated, it was the end of the story of Silas. Amen? Listen, people of God. Don't be selfish. God can take you anywhere he wants to take you in spite of whatever you give or whatever you deny yourself. Very thoughtful. She put the whole plan together, told her exactly what to do. He said, this is what you're going to do. The harvest season has come to a climax. Now they're going to be winnowing. You know, we won't get to it today. You know, they're going to be winnowing the, you know, what they do. We'll see it another time. Said, now, as they are winnowing, they will gather the grains and they will do it into the night. Nobody goes home. He said, I know by the time they are done at night, the men will gather together to eat and then they will also shack some booze. You know, he said, just be watching. Just be watching. When they have eaten and they have drank and they lay, make sure you notice where Boaz is sleeping. If you go and uncover somebody else's leg, you're on your own. He said, make sure you find where Boaz is. You know, what you may not know, because we read scripture too fast, what you may not catch there is all the time that Boaz has known Ruth, he has known her as a gleaner. So she comes in work clothes, probably dirty, probably all dusty and ashy and everything. He says, so when you're going, take a bath. Someone say, take a bath. Say, wear perfume. Our lovely sisters, that you are believing God for a husband. Believe me, I know you're a prayer warrior. I know you're a prayer warrior. By design, the way God has designed men, they are not that spiritual. It's what they see and they smell that they first of all understand. It's after they have seen, looking good, smelling good, they say, oh Lord, is this the one? But if you show up all funky and smelly, and they won't even bother to pray. They say, Lord, it cannot be this one. Hallelujah. 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 Some people say, pastors, huh? And you same for the young men too. The young women too. They are very prayerful. They love the Lord. But they want to. He has B-O. And on top of the B-O, he has M-O. It's a bad combination. Somebody is saying, what is M-O? It's not mission. No, it's not mission. It's mouth odor. The B-O is body odor. A little deodorant, you know, spray. In fact, those deodorant sprays, some of them, just a dollar. You go to the dollar store. You know, I'm back in the, you people, you are pulling me in another. But listen, let me tell you this just real quick. Back in the day when I was very broke, I used to be very broke. Very, very broke. I was a professor at the university, but they paid us nothing. You know, so I was broke, but I knew life. And, you know, like they say, Niger no dey carry last. I knew how to package myself. You know, so I used to buy colognes. I can't buy the original. You know, they call it alternative. So you have alternative to Tommy Hilfiger. You have alternative to this. So I just buy the alternative. The only thing it means is you have to retouch a lot of times. You know, so I would just go back in my car. Then I come back, I'm smelling fresh again. It's better than B.O., trust me. I was, ask my wife. When she came to Nigeria, I'm telling you the honest truth. When she came to Nigeria and she saw me, the first thing she observed was, it smells good. It smells good. But look at God. Look at God. What I was wearing that day was not alternative. It was not alternative. It was cocoa. It was the real deal. The real deal. You know? So when she came around me, it was later she was telling me that her first thing was, Bodakoye is smelling good. the Boda is gone now. Glory be to, after four children, the brother is gone. Praise the Lord. But Naomi was thoughtful. So if we're following serially, this should be number five, but I broke it because we're talking about Naomi. When we come to Ruth, listen. Ruth is the epitome of loyalty. Loyalty. Too many people today are disloyal. A friend of mine told me many years ago, as we were graduating university from vet school, he told me, Zekoye, if anybody ever cheats me in a business deal, ever, he said, I will shake the person. He said, because from the day we agreed together to do business together, I'm already planning how to cheat him. That's what he told me. He said, from the jump, I'm looking for how to cut his feet and go behind his back. I said, at least I know not to do business with you. I praise the Lord. Many people today are disloyal. And you know, the primary reason for the disloyalty is selfishness. Everybody is focused on themselves. What's the need for me? What about me? God is able to take care of me. God is able to take care of you. And God will meet your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. We're talking about the journey to the top. The journey to the top. Amen? Ruth was loyal. So much so that even Boaz observed it. He said, we all know in Ruth chapter 2:11, he said, everybody knows the sacrifices that you have made for your mother-in-law, how you gave up everything and you are stuck to this woman. And then in chapter 3, you notice in chapter 3, he also said, he said, even now, by this thing that you have done, you have shown even more family loyalty. You have not run after some young men for fleeting pleasures. You are not seeking fleeting pleasures, but you have sought to do the right thing. Not only was Ruth loyal, Ruth was hardworking. Ruth was hardworking. Friends, I know we are prayer people. In fact, somebody once told me, Pastor, it was in Salvation Center that I learned how to fast and pray. I said, praise God. Friends, prayer and fasting does not exempt you from hard work. It's just that you will have focused and guided hard work. The Bible talks about the labor of fools in Ecclesiastes. You will not be doing the labor of fools. Your hard work will be focused and directed because they are led by the Spirit. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit. You need hard work. The one thing that everybody could say, when Boaz came to his field, we read this the last time, when he came to his field, and he said, who is that young woman? Oh, they said, that is Ruth, the lady that came with Naomi from Moab. He said, she has been hard working all day. Can I say the truth? Some Christians are lazy. Some Christians are lazy. You can't hire them. There was once upon a time, one of our members, her manager, she was just intriguing to the manager. Say, how? Why are you the way you are? He said, it's Jesus, so it's God, it's Jesus. He said, which church do you go to? What's the name of your pastor? Give me his number. Can you believe her manager called me? The manager called me to give commendations that she's a hard worker. And the manager said, in case you have more people like her, send them to me. Guess how many people I sent? Victoria, just guess. How many do you think I sent? 5? I sent 0. I don't want anybody to go and mess up her record there. And then they are now calling me to say, Pastor, these people you sent, come and be praying and doing deliverance. And it was long ago. You were not here. Maybe if you were here, I would have sent you. It's a long time ago, trust me. Like 12 years ago, you know what I'm saying? You were not here. And those that were here then, they were hardworking. They had their own job. They don't need that job. You see how I came out of that? She was hardworking. She was hardworking. Number three, she was obedient. She was obedient. She followed instruction. The mother-in-law told her, he said, take a bath. It's a good advice. I'm advising some people now. When you're going on a date and you have been walking all day, take a bath before you go. Don't say, oh, traffic. No. You call, say, I'm running late. Go take a shower. And dress well. So this time around, when Boaz saw her, he saw a different person. It was not that lady with sack that is carrying. No. He saw a fine chick. A correct babe. His heart was immediately indicting a good matter. You know, he lifted the corner and said, what? Who are you? Give me some light. But let me jump ahead of myself. But Boaz was an honorable man. Boaz was an honorable man. They were in the woods in the middle of the night. He did not seek her out. She sought him out. She uncovered his leg and said, cover me more. He didn't move closer and start hugging her chest to chest, body to body. He didn't do none of that. He said, I will do the right thing. Give me Ruth chapter 3 verse 11. He said, I will do right by you. He said, now don't worry about a thing, my daughter. I will do what is necessary. Somebody say, I will do what is necessary. If you are dating a guy and he wants to have sex with you, that is a man that does not respect you. He said, I will not touch you, but rather I will wait and I will do what is necessary. I will do what is necessary. If that happens to you, that man has devalued you. That is what the Bible calls fornication. And fornication is a sin before God. It's a sin. He said, don't worry about a thing. I know you have come to me. I know you have come for covering. A redeemer covers you, does not mess you up. Any man that is uncovering you and has not done what is necessary, has devalued who you are. In fact, even you yourself, you have not valued yourself. At least if they are carrying up your dress, you say, don't touch my hand. It's, do you know my mother? Do you know my father? Have you paid dowry? Has pastor joined us? Which skirt are you? Don't pull up my skirt. Don't pull up my skirt. Let's stop that nonsense. I think I'm having too much fun today. What did I drink in Nigeria? Praise the Lord. He said, I will do what is necessary. Boaz was an honorable man. If you are taking notes, it's the last one. Boaz was an honorable man. He was honorable. And Ruth herself was a virtuous woman. Virtuous woman. To be virtuous means to have high moral standards. High moral standards. Amen. And we need more virtuous women today. We need more virtuous women today. Women are able to contain themselves a little more than men, because men are very physical. Amen. Boaz was a generous man. I will wrap up with this. There's a lot more things there, but I'm not going to be able to handle this. Boaz was a generous man. Was a generous man. His generosity, if you just read the text and you don't know biblical cultural things, you will not fully get it. And I don't think I have enough time to do that today. I think I'll just stop there. And next time we'll continue. Please rise to your feet. The way to the top requires sacrifice. Amen. What are you willing to give up for your next level? And if you are struggling with anything, say, Father, help me. Why don't you talk to the Lord? Say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Friends, many of us, we have made God small in our eyes. The reason we panic, the reason we are afraid, is because we have made God small in our eyes. I have made you small in my eyes. If you can see the bigness of God, if you can see the fullness of the reality of the work of Christ on the cross, you will panic less. Somebody is saying, oh, I'm getting old. If I don't give in to his advances, if we don't have sex, he will not. You had sex, he still will not marry you. If you have to prove love by disobeying God, you are marrying the wrong person. With every eye closed, every head bowed. You know your own story. Why don't you talk to the Lord? Say, Lord, help me. In any way, form, or fashion that I've belittled you or made you small in my eyes, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, forgive me. That's what I want you to pray. Say, Lord, forgive me. In any way that I've made you small, every disobedience is a revelation of how small God is in your eyes. Because if I see the awesomeness and the bigness and the mightiness of God, I will be too afraid to sin against him. I'll be too afraid to disobey him. Say, Lord, forgive me. Just sing it solemnly. Talk to the Lord. Talk to him. Talk to him. We're going to close in a minute or two. Don't sing the song. The choir leader is the one singing. Solemnly. Solemnly. But you pray. You pray. Say, Lord, in every way, in any way, I have made you small in my eyes. Lord, please forgive me. Lord Jesus, I know you are able to help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me. Plead the blood of Jesus upon yourself for cleansing. Say, Lord, in any way, in every way I have sinned, Lord, please be merciful unto me. You are a merciful God. Take me from here to a better place. Take me higher. Take me to that place in destiny, that place in life that you have reserved and preserved for me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be magnified, O Lord. The Lord will give you grace to overcome every peer pressure in the name of Jesus. The grace to resist in the name of Jesus, God will give unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. There will be nothing too big for you to give up for God in the name of Jesus. The grace to obey to stand firm and work hard, God will give unto you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you. We adore you. Thank you because, Lord, you are the only one that can pull us to the very top. And we know you will because you can. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We surrender ourselves unto you. We lay down every weight and every sin that thus so easily beset us. We lay them down. And Lord, we ask, oh God, that Lord, you will pick us up in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we may soar to the very top where you have intended for us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. We say, be thou exalted forever and ever in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God, for in Jesus' precious name, I have.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.